it looked like when we last talked a week ago, it was going to be fairly smooth sailing for the budget this year. And then suddenly there was talk about lawmakers going home without one, and even the possibility of the governor having to call a special session. What were the sticking points?
The sticking points were for the House, it was over school construction. And it wasn't even for the next 2 years. It was actually for planning for 2014 through 2016. The House argues that these are, you know, they've been doing this basically pretty regularly since 1985, putting in bonds for future projects. It allows for schools to look ahead and see, you know, plan for and design for, you know, expansions or renovations a few years ahead. And obviously the Senate's big proposal was bonded debt. They wanted less debt, less bonded debt, less structural imbalance. So that was a sticking point. The Senate eventually gave in. There were some other small things, how to fund Rupp Arena expansion, renovations, the horse park. The Senate wanted less debt, less spending. And there's always a lot of posturing when you get to the end of a budget. And this year was no different, except for last year, in past years, except for when the clock started really ticking, they actually came to the table and got something done.
So Governor Beshear proposed an austere budget at the beginning of the session, and that's pretty much what lawmakers are poised to approve.
Well, actually, lawmakers trimmed it down even more. Yeah. So the governor said that he had an inadequate budget and to fund the needs of Kentuckians, and lawmakers put in even less money in. So I would hate to think what he would refer to this budget as, but basically it was a tight budget, and there's no way around that.
Is there any threat of a veto?
Well, I'm sure the governor will line item veto some items. He always does. But what's happening is of course, that conference committee compromise that we're talking about now, it has finally landed on lawmakers' desks. They are breaking and looking over the plan now before they vote on it. And with them voting on it, it allows them to come back 2 weeks from now and override any of the governor's vetoes, if he vetoes anything. But I would think he always usually has one line or two. And since he can go one by one, he could, you know, cross out an A, dot a T, or, you know, cross a T, dot an I.
Right.
He can really do whatever. So they're preserving their veto power, and I'm sure that veto will be used, and the lawmakers will talk about overriding them.
Lawmakers go home, and there's a veto period?
That's right. It's about a week and a half. They're planning to return on April 12th. Of course, the governor gets so many days to veto a bill or it becomes law. And so basically they give themselves plenty of time for the governor to veto bills. The clock does not officially start until Monday. So they give the governor plenty of time, then they come back, look at what he's vetoed, and decide whether or not they're going to override it or not. Basically, it's a nice little week and a half break. Lawmakers will be back up here either the 12th or the 13th, and they'll look at the bills and say, either we don't care or, yeah, we want to override this.
Are there any other big issues still on the table at this late date?
Well, there actually are. You've got the prescription pill bill, which is House Bill 4. Actually, they had a conference committee, which is closed. They could not agree. So now they're in basically free conference committee, which that means they can throw anything in there at that point. But that's probably likely to go to the veto day. The road plan is still delayed. That's going to go to the veto day. Or they won't have one at all, House Speaker said. That would be disastrous. You're talking about not having funding for the Louisville Bridges project, for widening I-65. That could be disastrous. But lawmakers are pretty confident they'll get to the veto day and have an agreement. So those are the two big issues. Other than that, you've got a lot of issues that are getting sent to the governor's desk. Lawmakers are agreeing or disagreeing, and you know the leaders have to sign bills for them to go to the governor's desk. So we're still looking at that pseudoephedrine issue. It has not been signed by legislative leaders, so technically it is not at the governor's desk yet. And then, of course, the dropout bill.
Now, I'm still hearing commercials in support of calling your lawmaker in support of charter schools, but that's pretty much off the table for this session, right?
Yeah. Chairman Rawlins, basically, the Senate amended one of House Education Chairman Carl Rawlins' bill that dealt with districts of innovation, which is what he called charter-like program. They tacked charter schools on the end of that bill. That really upset the chairman, and he called that issue, both of those issues, his and charter schools, dead. And there really hasn't been any movement in the House to talk about, you know, taking up his bill again. So I believe charter schools are probably done, but they've made enough progress that they'll probably have a strong argument next legislative session.
Speaking of next session, one of the big disappointments for Governor Beshear this session was, of course, his casino gambling amendment failed. Do you think there's going to be any effort to revive it next time around?
You know, that's the chief initiative of the governor. So I have to think before he leaves office, we're going to continue to hear about and see this issue, what that issue looks like, whether it's, you know, statute or constitutional amendment. I don't really know. There's not a lot of talk about that right now. A lot of the focus is on the budget and the road plan. But I would have to think the governor will continue to try to find a way to get expanded gambling in Kentucky until he leaves office.
And I apologize if you mentioned this and I was distracted, but there was a tax amnesty bill was being considered. Is it still up for consideration?
Yeah, there's a compromise on that. Lawmakers are going to push that through. Not a whole lot of changes, a reduction from what the governor wanted in terms of, I guess, scope and people who are going to work on it. But at the same time, that will get done.
Now, this was not complete. Is this complete amnesty, or is this something we just work out something with the state on paying back taxes?
Yeah, I think you have to pay a portion of your back taxes. And then once you agree to the amnesty, you have to pay your taxes, I think, for 3 to 5 years in a row. You can't be late again, otherwise they'll come back for the full thing. But it allows for people to only pay a portion of their taxes and get the rest forgiven. You really see people who haven't paid their taxes, or corporations who haven't paid their taxes for 5, 8, 10 years. 10 years is the limit, but they're going kind of for the big dogs in this program.
They've had these in the past and collected a fair amount of money.
Yeah, and in this budget, they expect to collect $19 million, which isn't, in a $19 billion budget,
yeah,
doesn't seem like a lot of money, but $19 million is a pretty good chunk of change when you're talking about, it's not Mega Millions cash, but, you know, it'll help the budget a little bit.
That's right, every little bit helps. Well, Kenny Colston covers the Kentucky General Assembly and issues in Frankfort for Kentucky Public Radio. Kenny, thanks for joining us. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, you too.